Oh, like you could do better. Welcome to AE Double Back for January 27th, 2021.
Ooh, yeah.
Hey, guys, we're making it through January.
We're almost there.
Moving right along.
We're getting cocky and we're tempting fate.
Nope. Not going to happen.
No.
I am.
It was a nice, uneventful Wednesday.
Yeah. You know what?
Pretty much a surprise.
Number of days since a coup. We're doing pretty good. It's been like 14 days.
So far, so good. I think we can do it, you guys.
All
right. I think we've got it. not to be outdone by a national coup, but Eddie Kingston is going to wrestle Lance Archer.
Something of a coup in itself.
Yeah.
In what way?
Good booking. Say,
yeah, that like term. People's like, I'm thinking kudos.
Oh my god. Look, I am sorry that I thought you meant tontine and you meant tauntaun. But seriously, you need to get words. You need to get the words right.
You know, a coup. Wait, is this why you guys think that we haven't had a coup? Because you were thinking of the thing you say to a baby?
Oh, Lord.
I was thinking of the bird that sits on the old gum tree. And that's my fault, really. It's just I'm thinking of kookaburras 24/7.
Lance Archer's outfit looks like a Coors Light can tonight.
Get paid, Lance.
Lance and Jake kind of argue, so he makes Jake go backstage. And that just leaves just Eddie and Lance to fight it out.
Yeah.
No help to be had for Lance Archer from Jake Roberts.
I know. Also, as though Eddie's going to be a problem. It was a fun, decent match. You know, it's the first match of the night, so I waffle on what I expect for the first match. And sometimes I want something that's going to be really like catchy and just like engaging. This one wasn't that, but it still made me feel good because I felt like I was kind of easing into the night. I don't know. I don't like the moonsaults when they're in the middle of the rope, like out in the middle of the ring.
Oh, because, you don't like that move?
No, I don't. It was interesting when I saw it once, but what I don't like about it is like the person in the ring is literally just like holding their hand and walking with them.
Yeah.
And I cannot like suspend my disbelief when they do that. I can't be like, oh, they're mad at each other and they're fighting. When I see that, I'm like, okay, they're best friends. They've been planning this for weeks. They've rehearsed this 100 times. You know what I mean?
It's a good example for children crossing the street.
That. It's that. It's like, hold mom's hand. She's about to jump on you.
When it's done properly, basically you really have to sell that, you know, you're like, you're beaten up so bad that you're just like wobbly on your feet and they're the ones sort of dragging you along. And I think Eddie probably does a better job than most of doing that sell, but it is ridiculous. It has been ridiculous for 20 plus years when Undertaker started doing it. I really like the moonsault that he throws in, but yeah, the rope walk thing is not really great.
If he did it, you know, on his own, that'd be one thing. But the fact that it's a move that does require so much help.
It's a luchador thing. It might be from Mexico, which would kind of explain they're a little bit more into the acrobatics of it. So like that's like totally acceptable, totally normal.
They're not sending us their best moves, folks.
You know what?
You know, we've done away with that language. The people have spoken. So, you know, Lance wins.
Yeah.
The family, though, runs in and distracts Lance by grabbing Jake the Snake, and then Bunny slips Eddie some sort of brass knuckles. Mm-hmm. And so they start beating up Lance Archer.
This was like...
Actually, in fact, Eddie did win the match.
Ooh. Oh, oops.
Yeah. Because he did that, and then
that's right. That's what happened at the end. I'm sorry.
Hold your cards.
Sorry, that's what happened at the end.
This was like a weird move to me, because I was like, oh no, are you expecting Lance Archer to be moved by the plight of Jake the Snake? Is that the implication? the ways that he's deliberately humiliated him in the past.
I get that they're trying to sort of like humanize Lance Archer, take him down from the sort of monster heel thing that he was doing, because you can only do that for so long, and then, you know, people stop buying it.
Especially if you're not going to be like someone holding a belt.
Yeah, yeah. But like the way they're doing it is just really weird, and I'm not on board with it.
I mean, it would be neat. I would like to see him in a group of some sort.
A group home, maybe, where he could get the help he needs.
You know, wow. Where wow. Everyone holds hands. Yeah, I don't know. Because I would like to see a little more human side to him. That would be appealing to me.
And the part of the problem, too, is that in this match, the setup is such that Eddie Kingston has to be the face here. Like,
yeah.
He is the smaller guy who doesn't have a chance against the big guy. So you structurally are supposed to root for him. And that's a real weird position. They haven't really made him quite a face yet. And the family are all still pretty heelish. And ideally, Lance Archer is supposed to be the one who's the face. And so all of it was very not quite right.
I kind of see him going to join like Pack and those guys.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of where that's where they've been leaning. So it would be interesting to see him in that grouping, but
the problem is that then they become overpowered, and then you can't put them up against any other faction, because they would just decimate the other faction, and so like, why are we even bothering to watch this thing? He needs to be solo, kind of like a page. You know, just sort of like running around and getting into scraps and stuff like that. Usually being taken down by at least two people. Makes sense.
Probably have to take care of a little Yoda.
He needs someone other than Jake the Snake is what he needs. Because I feel like he's holding him back at this point.
Possibly. He does still need someone to talk for him. So
he does. He definitely does. But I don't think Jake the Snake is cutting it.
Yeah.
He's cutting the cheese, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sick
yeah,
burn.
You heard me. I gave this a thumbs up.
I put it in the middle. I don't like Eddie Kingston matches. They're growing on me. Don't get me wrong. And he took a nasty bump. When Archer choke slammed him over the ropes, and he landed on his hip on the apron. And they're like, "Oh my god, he broke his back!" And they're like, "No, he landed on his hip." And I'm like, "Oh, that's worse.
Yeah,
that's
way so worse. Much worse.
He landed on his keys. It's okay.
Oh, he landed on his balls. No problem, guys."
That was immediately followed, I think, by him getting bonked directly into the camera, and that was
it was a weird match.
Pretty nice.
But it was fun to watch, and I loved seeing the family come out at the end.
Yeah, that was I was delighted by that particular interference. Everybody was doing something fun to be a part of it, and the bunny especially seemed to be overjoyed that she could slip Eddie something. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was silly, but I was into it.
Yeah, how'd you thumb it, Caldy?
I upped it. Hey. Call the hungy for a thumb up.
We've got a Moxley promo next. He was just joking about like all the drama. And he's like, it's like Young and the Restless. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm simple. I like cold. I like my beer cold, my coffee
hot,
and my water room temp.
He said he liked his sex in the morning.
Okay. You know what's really funny? Because when I wrote this down, I know in my brain, I was like, I wrote down beer cold. I was thinking coffee hot, but I wrote coffee morning.
Just skipped over all the bits. Get right to the sex.
Coffee morning, water room temp. But he's all in for the six-man tag at the beach break. That'll be exciting. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Middle. I don't care for this Moxley who, I get you trying to undercut like, this is all Young and the Restless. But if you're doing it as kind of like, that's whatever, I'm bored by it, as opposed to I'm so mad and I can't stand that there's all this drama and all these people acting dumb. And I, you know, like, without the intensity that he normally has, I am just really not on board with his promos. Even as it is, he's still really good. So it gets in the middle, but this is not my favorite Moxley.
I liked it. I upped it. I like when he's doing a video promo, he stays put, and I appreciate that. I don't care for him like dissipating his energy by pacing around uselessly. I like it when somebody plants their feet and stands their ground and lets their vocal cords do the walking.
That's laser focused. All right. Well, we've got Sting and Darby promo after that. If you thought the first one was bad, wait till you see this one. Darby throws his skateboard through a window. Sting starts smashing some windows in a bat. Apparently that means they're hoodlums. They call themselves hoodlums. Boo. Boo.
Boo for hoodlums, boo for the promo. I'm unclear if you're
the whole
concerned
thing
about the windows.
Just got boo from me.
Same, honestly. I was like, wait a minute. Sting, are you winded after breaking five windows with a bat?
That's what I fucking saw too.
Oh, this is going to be a bad, bad match.
Yeah, I saw that too. But like, I also tried to give him the benefit of the doubt because he did like hit him really hard and really fast.
Well, thank goodness he won't have to do that in a wrestling match.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I thumbsed it down.
Same.
I middled it. I guess I wasn't offended by it, but it didn't do a great deal to entertain me.
I'm just still like, I don't know their deal and, what are they?
They're uncertain as to whether they're hoodlums or not.
It's complicated. Come on, Teresa. You've read their OkCupid profile. I was trying to think of it.
you are going to make fun of me for mistaken words.
I thought it was going to be
land a sharp comeback.
Look, yeah, that was going to be their press pack or something.
I hoist myself on it regularly.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, okay. Next we have Jericho and MJF versus the Varsity Blondes. I have to say, I love seeing everybody singing Jericho's song. It's so much fun. It's like just a fun tradition we have. It's almost like when people get up and sing Take Me Out the Ball Game when you go see like the Dodgers or something, or any team, any baseball team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The seventh inning stretch, everyone stands up and sings. It's fun.
Yeah, that's the right song to say. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, wait, have you guys not been to a ball game?
I have.
I think I went to one once.
And do you not remember standing up, everybody standing up and singing that song?
I don't know. I might have been 8.
What about you, Calder?
I'll take your word for it. It's not true. I think you're lying.
I'm not confused in any way. I agree that that's what happens.
Okay, all I know is that typically when you go see a professional baseball team, this it's called the seventh inning stretch, and you actually get up to stretch and saying, take me out to the ballgame is fun.
It just comes at a weird point in the game.
Yeah, because it's almost the end.
It's between the top and the bottom of the seventh inning, and it's not halfway. It's not as though you're imminently going to be heading out, and you're like, I'm all stiffened up, but once I do this, I'll be loosened up, and then we'll immediately be walking out. You're going to sit right back down for another hour.
Yeah, because it's also baseball. So, like, you don't know if the ninth inning is really going to be the last inning.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of misthought in it.
I like baseball games because of screaming and food and beer.
Sure. Those are all great parts of it.
It's so much fun.
Baseball is great.
The county fair.
Great sport.
Because the game itself, I don't necessarily... Wait, what'd you say?
Well, fight clubs have the same thing, right?
Yeah, but...
screaming and...
I'm not sure how much food they do have.
You don't get to sit in an arena and, like, you know, be safe, you know, sitting next to grandmas and stuff.
I mean, you can take grandma to a fight club.
Well, she has to
you
fight.
You just don't talk about it. You can't talk about it. I mean, yeah, she's got to fight.
That's why I can't bring my grandma, because if there's one thing I know about both of my grandmas is... They cannot keep a fucking secret to save their lives.
Okay,
they can fight.
They love to talk.
Here's the thing. Like, you can't knock the teeth out of a grandma. They're already gone, so there's an advantage right there.
Hey, both my grandmas had all their teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I know. That gives me hope. yeah, they had all their teeth.
Speaking of grandmas fighting, Jericho and
Jericho, MJF, Varsity Blondes.
I feel bad for that low swipe, but also Jericho in the ring bores me, and it has for a little while now. So
I thought it was like a decent match. I hadn't seen the Varsity Blondes in a while, so that was kind of cool to see because they're better than I remember them. Mm-hmm. But of course, I don't know who they were against last time I saw them. So maybe it was because of that. I don't know.
They both have a big upside. Like, they're definitely going to be much bigger stars.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Griff Garrison is waiting for Jungle Boy to vamoose so that he can finally.
I can't wait to talk about that.
He really needs to stress right off the top that that's not who he is.
The hair does it. Makes you think. If you're like, oh, a white boy with curly hair, it's Jungle Boy. Wait, no. It's Haint. It's Griff Garrison.
Griff Garrison.
Griff. He should be McGriff the crime dog.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's McGriff, but I was trying to make it his name.
Sure, it works.
One of them, you know what? There's going to have to be a hair versus hair match sooner rather than later.
Whoever loses has to cut their hair.
Yeah.
It would have to be Griff Garrison because Jungle Boy, that's like the jungle thing. It's like a Tarzan thing.
But he also has the better hair. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't know.
Everyone send in your opinions. Who has the better hair, Griff Garrison or Jungle Boy? At AE Double Back, at all your major social networking.
Find it in your grocery store's freezer.
I almost said something like that. it was a fine match. It was fine. I middled it.
I middled it as well. I give props because they have mixed entrance music. There's a track that has both elements from both of their entrance songs.
I heard that too.
And I appreciate that. It's lazy when they just sort of like slap. Here's 3 seconds of, 15 seconds of one song. Here's 15 seconds of another song. like remix that shit. I'm into
yeah.
it.
I would like to see like this would be like a sketch that I saw once where in between their entrance musics there's like a commercial, like a Spotify commercial.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
You know, when I was working on cruise ships, the ship I was on had spent $100,000 on this like DJ machine thing.
Ugh.
Basically,
at least it's a machine.
Yeah, it was like this big computer thing. I don't know. It was like a screen. And basically, and it would make it so that anyone, no matter how experienced or inexperienced, could DJ and remix and mash up things, because it would time if you wanted things to like just choose any two random fucking songs, you want to put them together. It would know exactly how to slow one down. You know, they'd get them on the same pace. So then it could mash up. I don't know. It was fucking cool. I don't know how to describe it, but anytime I hear mashups and things like that, I'm just like, you didn't do that. A fucking machine did that. A machine did it.
Oh man.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Why no, you, there isn't, but I mean, machines?
They serve us.
I'm not gonna like shit my pants over somebody's new mashup.
I mean, that honestly, is a shame. That is a shame.
I feel like that's a good rule of thumb, is to not shit your pants over any mashup ever.
You never know, guys. I'm just saying. Life.
No, sorry, we don't book human mashups here.
Do we want to talk about?
Hold on, Calder.
What?
Would you? You've been working on your thumbs all night. What did you give this one?
Oh, I upped this one. I'm always interested when MJF is in the ring. And also there was an especially impressive airballed kick from Brian Pillman that mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun with.
Yeah. There was a small promo with Pac. I don't know if we want to talk about that one.
Yeah, it's a thing.
But he was in the same sort of room that he had been sending promos to us from England.
I would assume that's his house.
He's back in England.
Well, it was weird though, because it just makes me think that he left the country, even though obviously he didn't. But
are you sure?
Hope he did.
Well,
I mean, he wasn't there this week.
You're right. I don't know, but I just assumed. None of us could leave America. We were trapped here.
He left his oven on.
Had to go home. It was an emergency. Quick, my phone's... my phone. My house is probably burned down by now. Can I go and see?
he had to go back to England because his phone was low.
You guys, I can't figure out your converters. I can't figure out the power converters. Oh, God. I'm so loopy tonight. In case that hasn't been clear from the start. And our pre-show talk of tauntauns.
Oh, man.
All right. So I thought it was decent. I mean, I liked it. But I middled it.
Mm.
I thumbsed it up because it wasn't great, but it is really specific. It is very much like he has a particular style. And again, you know, I want to see something different. I want variety. And so like even when I'm not the biggest fan of, say, Darby Allin's like, you know, like little video skateboard promos, like I tend to thumbs them up just because like, yeah. That is Darby Allin, mm-hmm. and this is Pac. And mm-hmm. also, I gave a little bit for Billy Big Bollocks. I mean, like, if you want to talk like, yeah, that is the most English thing that an Englishman ever Englished. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Billy Big Bollocks. Like yep.
I middled it because it was fine, but it didn't make an enormous impression on me.
Mm. All right. So... We've got then, we were promised a response to Shaq from Cody, and we received Cody coming out to the ring being like, I don't know what to do, man. My wife's pregnant, so
Hold on. Did you just skip right over Shaq's promo?
Shaq's promo.
Shaq talking?
But it was like a flashback from something. I thought it was aired on a previous date.
I don't think so.
It was from earlier today, I think.
Yeah, that is, I mean, I feel the need to zero in on this because I thought that was going to be the entirety of the segment that we're going to move on to another match. So in my notes here where I normally, you know, put the thumbs, I just put down, just down, all caps, down.
Are you serious?
I was not happy with that at all.
Okay, hold on. Are you talking about him or are you talking about the entire segment?
No, we started with just Shaq. That, like I said, I thought that was the whole segment. That was going to be all of it. It's just Shaq talking. I was like, this is not anything that I want to see ever.
Yeah. What do you think, Calder?
We can talk about this entire thing as a segment, include, Shaq as part of that. And I'll explain why it continues to be down. Just down.
Staying down.
Oh my goodness.
I middled Shaq because it was short, but it was certainly nothing that improved the state of this feud such as it is.
Yeah, if I were to just thumb Shaq's portion of it, I would middle it.
We'll do the whole segment.
Oh, okay.
That Shaq is part of this segment, so.
Okay, so yeah. Shaq has a little thing being like, you know what? Yeah, I'll wrestle you. How about, what did he say, March or something like this?
The pay-per-view, yeah, in March.
So Cody is responding. He's like, you know, normally it would be Shaq and Jade versus me and Brandy, no problem. But my wife's pregnant and I'm going to be a dad, so I don't know. And Arn took time out to talk about Cody's dad and how his dad saw him being born, and Cody was crying. It was cute. I liked it. And then Arn was really putting Shaq over. He was putting Jade over, but he really just laid it on thick for Shaq. And then he pitched Red Velvet as a substitute, and she came out and was like, yeah, I'm going to get your bitch ass or something like this. And JR's like, woo, she said bitch ass. That means she's serious.
What a Jezebel. So
if I had to do the whole thing, I would say it got a thumbs up from me.
Wow.
I know, but it's because we're finally getting somewhere. And that's all I wanted. Just wanted this to move along.
I will say that Red Velvet cut a pretty good promo.
Yeah.
It was real basic, but like, yeah, she's got intensity and did just fine.
Yeah.
Stir your bitch ass up is not a great catchphrase.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does that mean amp her up, like make her more fierce?
I feel like this is something that, here we go, air quotes, the kids are saying these days. Because like it does kind of have that meaning of like, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to, you know, rile you up or something like that, which is not good, but like maybe that is slang. And if it is great, still don't care.
I mean, what's not great certainly is stirring a bowl at someone.
See, yeah. If it were me and I had to make a cake reference, I would say, I'm going to ice you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like, whatever. It's real simple.
You're going to put stuff your ass in an oven preheated to 450?
Not quite that straightforward, Calder. Not so on the nose, Calder. No, but like, you know, what's wrong with just saying that? Something like ice. Ice makes sense. Stirring doesn't necessarily, but ice makes sense.
I don't know.
Whatever. Like Red Velvet, she's got the icing. I don't know.
You gotta stick with the cake thing, I guess. Yeah.
I'm gonna mash your face like a baby into a cake. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Are you the parent smashing the baby's face into a cake?
You know how babies smash their faces in cakes? I mean, there's like 1,000 videos of this.
I feel like they tend to like grab just handfuls.
Or they like just like stick their face in to eat because they're, dumb kids.
I don't know. Maybe I need to do more YouTube searching.
Baby, maybe not.
Smash baby face. Is that what I'm looking for?
Yeah. You know what? I recommend you do that. And then also send that search history to the FBI immediately.
No, I'm going to search that on the dark web. I'm sure everything will be just fine. I'll get pictures of cute cakes just like I want.
I was just looking for some adorable babies. What was this? What are their aunts?
The cover is, if anything, worse.
Okay, so you downed it. Calder, where were you?
I guess like it. For the whole, it's a middle.
Okay. Oh, it's a rainbow.
Hey.
We got a really awesome promo after this about Kip Sabian's wedding. It was so adorable and looked like a funny movie. It looked like something that, you know, maybe you don't see it when it was first in theaters, or maybe you go to a discount theater because it's just like a cheap, fun, silly ass comedy. It looked so cute. So Kip Sabian, they're like, oh, you know, we're so in love. So excited to invite you, blah, blah, blah. And then Miro is like, and me, Miro, the best man. And with Charles the butler. It'll be great. I was like, this is fucking hilarious. This is a buddy comedy with some guaranteed yucks.
Whenever there is a blurb like for a movie and there's an in it,
I thumbs it up.
Nice. I did too.
The entirety of my notes for this are it's fine.
Oh, no. So
I gave it I middled it. It's you're just be thankful. Just be thankful it got a middle, all right?
Okay.
Could have been so much worse. I mean, not a lot worse. There's only other.
So then we've got a match.
We know exactly how much worse and better it could be.
Yeah, exactly. We've got Adam Page versus Ryan Nemeth. Hollywood Ryan. Hollywood Hunk, I guess, is what they call him. This was something I was looking forward to because I knew it was coming. He's someone that like we know, so it's cool to see him actually get like this type of a gig.
Yeah,
he lives in LA, does works with a lot of comedians and stuff like that, so like there's a bunch of people of us friends of ours that know him, and so yeah, it's
a
cool
lot of our friends. For him.
Well done,
trained by him. Yeah, so it was a great match. My personal feelings aside, it was a great match. It was actually a really great. They gave him a lot of he got to get a lot of moves in. The match was a decent amount of time, so you got to see him perform for a while, which is great. I always like seeing stuff like that when it's someone like they did with Top Flight, you know? Top Flight got a great first shot. And or I don't know if it was their first shot, but definitely it was their first Dynamite. And so I felt the same way about this. Like he got a great night. Big money, Matt Hardy came to the ring.
No whammies.
No whammies, no whammies, big bucks. And, basically was trying to recruit. Well, we don't know if he was trying to recruit Adam Page. He said after the match, you deserve to be happy. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
He was just trying to recruit like good things for him from the universe.
Yeah, like
he was trying to get him to use his huge dressing room. Right. So I assume that means he wants to see him naked, and it's just like coming to my dressing room and I'll peep through my little peephole.
He's like,
you don't need.
He was like, you've been dressing by yourself backstage in the hallways. Like, I've got a huge dressing room. You can use it, you know. No strings attached. And I was like, how many women have heard that before?
Exactly.
Hey, you come over and use my shower. No funny business.
And Hangman is in a vulnerable position because, as we learn from his opening graphics, he was accompanied to the ring by crippling emotional baggage.
I do enjoy those.
It's like, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for airing my dirty laundry. Matt Hardy. I don't know. It's just really funny, his whole shtick right now.
I think I enjoyed anyone even purporting to be like kind to anyone. You know what? That's a treat.
I thumbs it up.
Me too.
I middled it.
Someone is just sitting on attack.
A slap in the face to Ryan Nemeth.
No, I'm all for Ryan Nemeth, and I hope he gets signed. Sorry.
Okay. Next, we have Jungle Boy versus Harwood. Jungle Boy's music is the fucking greatest.
The audience is starting to sing along, which is a real good sign.
During the match, while, things were going, instead of just saying Jungle Boy, they were going,
Money well spent, Tony Khan.
Hell yeah. It was a fantastic match. It was really great.
It certainly surprised me because they and this was I'm sure by design that they were doing like Mr. X stuff, but they spent so much time and energy on the Luchasaurus handcuff plan that it seemed as if that was going to have to be a huge part of things, and it wasn't really.
Because I thought handcuffing Luchasaurus to what's his face and Dax,
Cash Wheeler and Tully Blanchard.
I thought that they would have teamed up on Luchasaurus, and done something nefarious while he was just handcuffed to them.
I was thinking like this is like human caterpillar, like you don't like being the one in the middle is not the prime position.
Okay, you know what? I'm just gonna stop you right now. It's not human caterpillar. And it's honestly, it feels creepier than the actual thing, human centipede, because it sort of conjures up the image of like a cute and cuddly fuzzy creature.
Human caterpillar.
That is human sewed together. Wait. And it will turn into a human butterfly at some point.
Yeah. Wait, the caterpillar is the one that does all the eating, right?
Human caterpillar is when you put a human into a sleeping bag type of thing.
Like, say, a tauntaun sleeping bag.
Yes.
Go on.
But you dissolve the human inside. And then that human, though.
Go on. This is very cute.
You shake around. You shake the sleeping bag around. And
are you thinking of Beastmaster? Or did you just watch Beastmaster with Mark Singer?
No, I'm describing the process of caterpillars dissolve. Their bodies dissolve when they're in the cocoon, and then they reemerge as a butterfly. It gets all rearranged and all that shit. So that would happen then with a human caterpillar.
Why are we still on this? What is happening?
Reemerge with his glorious wings.
Nature is beautiful. The point is that it seemed to me that what you don't want if you're trying to neutralize Dax Harwood's outside people is for them to be on the outside of the handcuff a pillar.
You know, what I would say, though, is it really puts Luchasaurus over in that he has that much strength
and weight
that he can hold these guys, because they would get up periodically and try to run to the ring, and he would just sit there, and they couldn't get away from him. Like, they couldn't, the two of them together, pull him up out of his seat. So it really gets over the idea that he's just like this complete I was going to say something, and then my brain just turned off.
He's a monster.
The two of them, like, in the way that, like, one of us might say, I plus Oprah have billions of dollars.
Yeah.
like to attribute any strength whatsoever to Luchasaurus because he was able to restrain Tully Blanchard.
Well, but you know what I mean. Like, two people can do some yanking.
I know that all too well. Yes, they can.
There's a word for that that we will not go into.
Well, here's a word that was interesting to me that they kept calling Dax Harwood Dax the Axe, which felt new whether it was or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like horrified that he was calling himself Axe. When it's like, but, and yet you don't mind that someone calls himself the Butcher and the Blade? Like, come on.
But Butcher is an honorable trade.
And an axe isn't? Come on, man. It's one of the most basic tools there are.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Jungle Boy won by, what's his face had to tap out.
Yeah, I have that in all caps with an exclamation point. When Jungle Boy wins, it is a stirring thing.
Absolutely.
Quite surprising.
And, you know, he fucking deserves it. He's fantastic. I really like Jurassic Express. And I think that they're really paired well against FTR. You know, I always want to say TR because if anybody has ever seen Suburbia, like the movie from the 70s, or maybe it was the early 80s, but anyways, it's like this punk rock movie, and TR was their, like, the group name they called themselves, which stood for Totally Rejected. And my friends and I, when we were just like kids with nothing to do, would go building climbing, and then there were these abandoned buildings downtown, so we would just like find a way in, and by find a way, I mean we just break in.
That's a way, and you found it.
Yeah, so, you know, no one was in them. They weren't being used for anything, so just no harm, no foul. But anyway, we called it TR. The one that we could actually get into, we called TR. And, like, there was this one room where there was a closet, and in the closet it was full of, like, bush quail things, because, like, posters or whatever you call them, because that building only got used when Congress was in session. Ooh. So it had, like, all kinds of random ass shit that probably they only used during election years. Anyway, I digress. That's why I pause every time I'm about to say FCR. Anyway, so I forget the F.
Explains a lot.
Sorry, guys. Just, this is no longer a wrestling podcast. This is now Teresa remembers the most random things from her life.
Here's the thing. It's always been that way. So it's never been a wrestling podcast.
All right. Well, so there's a lot of aftermath shenanigans with this where they FTR cut off the horns of Luchasaurus. They handcuffed him to the ring.
Humiliating.
Yeah.
I was very curious when they had the scissors. Like, yeah. Okay, this is a very established trope. What are we doing with the scissors?
I know.
Are we cutting the hair? Are we cutting the goatee? Are we cutting the mask off? We're cutting the horns off. That is a choice.
I know. I thought they were going to cut the mask off, and I was really scared. But then they cut the horns off, and I was like, well, at least they didn't cut the mask off. But
very, very symbolic of, I believe, having sex with Luchasaurus's wife. But, you know, whatever.
What?
The cuckold's horns. Well, yeah, I think that's, like, about giving horns, not taking them away.
What?
So you're... reverse having sex with
Lucha Source's wife? Is this something I'm supposed to know? What reference is this? Is this from like medieval lore? What is this?
When you sleep with someone's like wife that like you're like I don't even really know the original like source of it all, but it's you like you're the giving horn. Them the cuckold's horns, to be a cuckold is to have been emasculated by like having your wife slept with.
Okay, because to me, if you're going to say that emasculating, I could say, okay, I can associate with someone getting their balls cut off. But to go so far as to say, this means I slept with your wife, that's wild.
It's
like to have someone sleep with your wife and then cut your horns off, I mean, that's a bad day.
Well, okay, no, that is, it's... It has nothing to do with that. It is to put the horns on someone is it means that they have been cuckolded. So it is not that. It is devil's just horns. a weird thing that they did. And it made Puritans. Me laugh because it was weird.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
It was different.
Yeah. I give the whole thing a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm also giving it a thumbs up. I think it was a fantastic clash of styles.
Yes.
Jungle Boy works real well as a face in this situation. And of course, FTR, Dax, and Cash both are really solid technical workers, so they know how to work a match. And Jungle Boy, like, just has this natural charm that just gets people on his side, and you want to root for him, and it's so good. I'm always delighted when they say he's from Valley Village.
Yes.
Because that's like right next door. Specific. And that just makes me smile.
You must see him around.
Yeah. Like maybe.
And like, you know, it's such a good pairing. FTR and Jurassic Express is a really good pairing. Yeah. And so it's always good to see them together. It was great to see Jungle Boy get his due.
I will say I'm glad Tully still has a little gas left in his tank, but I was scared by him getting up on even the second rope. I'm like, oh, man, please, nobody die.
He did it.
Luchasaurus looked like he was in an odd position between FTR and then, Tully just like jumping down. I was like, just don't break your spine, man. So we're cool. Everything's good.
This is followed by a fun little Team Taz promo. Where they go to a merch table and start ripping up all this Sting and Darby Allin merch. But the kid, here's my thing. I just wrote, why the kid? You have some of the biggest stars ever. People that, you know, fans love and adore. And instead of giving them a chance to say a goddamn word.
You're mad about Hook.
That stupid ass kid is the one that gets all the camera time. And he's the one that talks and shoves and whatever. And it's like, can someone please tell Tony Khan to fucking nix that entire idea. Get rid of it. Fucking throw it away. Have him go to military school and then surprise everyone.
Wow.
No, you know what I'm saying? Have a storyline where he gets sent off somewhere and then in 5 years, he miraculously comes back. Whatever. I don't give a fuck. Just back get him the fuck out of school. Here.
What a miracle.
You know, and that was a classic thing that happened to kids in the 80s. Why doesn't it happen anymore?
Are you telling me... Because by that logic, then we shouldn't be seeing negative one at all. And yet...
Ship him to military school.
Look, I do like negative one. But if it becomes like something where he's out, he's given way more time than the other people in Dark Order, then I will have a problem with it. Sorry, but I will.
Here's the thing. Team Taz is just overflowing with talent and charisma and raw sexiness. So, like, it's going to take a lot for me to stop liking anything they do regardless.
No, I love Team Taz. I hate this kid. He's not Team Taz. He's some asshole. He can go.
It's Taz's kid.
I don't care.
Team asshole.
Yeah. He's an army of one. Team asshole.
An army of one. Oh, man.
I will say that I know that I should be on the side of the merch table people, like class solidarity and all that. But my goodness, if you don't put up Team Taz merch, you know,
yeah.
You just put up Sting and Darby Allin, then, you know, you get what you deserve. You deserve to be lawn darted into the side of the truck. Mm. You deserve to get plowed Rode through that the merch table.
maybe Team Taz didn't give them anything.
It's available. You can get it at shopaew.com for an eminently reasonable price.
What? You're expecting them to pay retail and then sell that?
Yeah.
Look, the merch people knew what they were getting into.
By selling it back by the buses where no fans could be.
Oh, no. Are they selling it inside their security perimeter? That's not good.
Looks like they're back by all the travel buses or something.
Look, like they're just a bunch of unsigned wrestlers wandering around the back. They happen to be near the merch table. They're just caught in the crossfire.
Somebody accidentally ordered too many shirts. And they're like, maybe we could just sell them.
Set up a table inside the locker room.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Darn right. Thumbs up all around.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We've got Britt versus Shauna. Now, Shauna seems really cool, and she's super good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good match. I just really liked Shauna. I thought she did really fucking well, and I hope we see more of her.
I believe she signed, so yeah, hopefully we do see more.
Oh, hell yeah. I really hope so, because she seems like fucking fantastic. She's got a great personality. She's got good moves. Mm-hmm. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Britt won and then did some funky, weird shit where she pries someone's mouth open, and Thunder Rosa runs in and chases Britt away. And then Thunder Rosa was checking on Shauna to make sure she was okay. Great. I love it. Thunder Rosa is amazing. And I love that Britt's scared of her because she should be. She's going to get her ass beat.
Oh, man.
I gave the match a thumbs up because of Shauna.
And not at all because of Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Huh?
Shauna and Thunder Rosa.
I mean, the thumb splits up evenly, so Britt's going to get her share.
Yeah. Thumbs up, and also I love the tag on the Chiron that was Britt Baker with Rebel, not Reba! ! I do hope that we get to see more of Rebel. Maybe she's retired from wrestling, is not actually wrestling anymore, and just wants to be doing this stuff. But I am hoping that she does get some ring time eventually.
Yeah. I hope she rises up and defeats Britt.
Yeah, it was a great segment.
Where's your thumb?
It's up.
Okay. We got a little bit of backstage with MJF and Sammy.
Is it? Okay, no, that sounds like
it's promo. Sex. I don't know what it is.
That's definitely sex. A
little backstage uh-oh.
That could be the problem between them. We don't know yet.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
It could be a whole guilt of lover thing.
They could be in a lover's triangle, and it's a big old misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of hurt feels.
I middled it because I don't know.
Same. Like, I like them. This thing was just doing what it was doing, though, and so,
yeah.
Oh, I upped it.
Okay. Hmm. Then we've got the Bullet Club doing a promo, quick one, with Gallows, Anderson, and the Young Bucks. Omega shows up and he's pissed off about Don Callis. So then they end that promo and just walk right into the ring.
I will say, I do not care for, and I'm sure this is what they're doing as the Good Brothers in TNA right now, but like, I do not care for their promo style as compared with what they were doing back in WWE.
Agreed. Also, big reason for that is because mostly they were with AJ Styles, who is a fucking genius and made sense. He could make everything make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I would love how there would be like a very brief interjection from somebody around AJ, and then and they would always like have the perfect thing to contribute to that.
Yeah, it was like a Three Stooges thing. It was perfect. But you have to have AJ for that, and them alone is very clear. You know.
Yeah, it's possible they need Omega there so that they can. Because yeah, some people are just better hype men.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you need that.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly.
Like when he's like, "Oh, so and so and so and so, that's me." You know, it's fucking great. Like, that's the dumbest thing you could ever add, and yet it provided so much joy.
Mm-hmm. To this day.
To this day. So, you know, yeah, if Omega would be basically recreate that dynamic, that would be good. But because I could totally see that happening. He does sort of have a little bit of, well, he's from North Carolina, right? Is he really?
No. He is.
Why do I say North Carolina?
I don't know. I don't know why they do that.
It's a fun gimmick, and I believe it's a rib on Ric Flair.
North Carolina.
Okay, because then I was going to say, oh, maybe he is kind of like AJ Styles, but he's not. So, but yeah, he could totally have that same sort of swagger. The same, you know, they could fall into those patterns, but them alone, no good. No good. What they say, this chiz biz, what they call it? Some fucking...
Yeah. That's the point where I was like, that must be a catchphrase from TNA. So, like, I'm assuming all of this then is just part of their persona that they've crafted, which is fine. And, you know, like, maybe if I listen to it a lot more, you know, after over a period of months, I'll be like, oh, yeah, no, I really like this thing now, mm-hmm. as it is now.
Mm. Yeah, having no real knowledge of what this is, hearing the term chiz biz makes me want to fucking barf.
Well, what it seems like is something that they got off of Laugh-In.
Yeah, or like Reddit.
Sock it to me.
There's some subreddit where chiz biz is something completely disgusting. Anyways, so yeah, we've got this match with Young Bucks and the Good Brothers versus the Dark Order, which would consist of Evil Uno, Silver, Reynolds, and Grayson. But Young Bucks are chewing gum. Do they always chew a lot of gum?
Only when they have enough for everybody.
Because it was really eye-catching this time, and I'm like, I just was wondering if I missed it for so long. Whatever. So, anyways, this is a great match. I don't even know what to say about it. It was fucking great. Silver was in there, and he called for Gallows to come in, which I was like, that's brilliant.
Because yeah, big man, Silver small man.
Yes, it was great. Fucking A. Stu Grayson. Unfucking real, kicking so much ass.
I do have a note here. God damn it, JR, because there was a point where he said, "How do you like your stew?" On the top rope.
Funny.
That's an uncle joke.
An unk joke.
Oh yeah, as we were discussing earlier, the French word for uncle.
Yes. This is the sort of scintillating talk that we get to before we start recording. It's like, how do you say uncle in French?
Yeah, uncle? That's right, Chan. We're expanding our minds with foreign languages.
Like, it all started with contre mon frère and the idea that you could also say monsieur, which would be my sister. And yes, it does sound like monsieur, but it's different. And if I were French, my accent would be able to sound different, but because I'm not, it all sounds the garbly same. Okay.
Look, this match had a four-way super kick in it.
Yes! It was a quadruple super kick. There's also a powerbomb on the edge of the ring that looked like they fucking broke their asses right on the edge.
Yeah.
It looked fucking... this match was so much fun and great for so many reasons. You really have to watch it.
I'm sad about the outcome, but also I get it. It was still a great match.
Yeah, the Bucks won. And then the Bucks started to allude to the fact that they may be able to choose who they get to wrestle in a tag match later. And Phoenix runs in, jumps on the Young Bucks, and then Gallows and Anderson jump on him. And then Moxley runs in, and then he gets them, and then... Oh, yeah. Phoenix ran after, Gallows and Anderson and jumped out of the ring to knock him over. Yeah, but then he landed on the top of the outside railing out there, like on the fucking top of it.
His leg Phoenix went through launched the himself bottom part. So fucking hard.
It was the most insane thing I'd ever seen. I've never seen that happen before.
No, that's what. Because you're supposed to make a move and make it look like it super hurts, but it doesn't actually hurt. And I'm like, no, man, you're just going at an ungodly speed. You probably plowed into those guys. They're like, what the fuck was that? And you still had momentum. You went through them.
Yeah.
You didn't even land on them. You went through them.
It was.
Ended up in the lower balcony fucking just.
Fucking A, man. Oh. The amount of trust he had in those men, I mean, it was misplaced. 100%. But like, he really just was like, we're doing it, guys. And they were like, oh, we're not used to any of this. We're not used to this shit. We come from a different place and a different time. He's like, buckle up, buttercup, because I'm coming for your throats.
We come from a place where we want to go home to our wives. Yeah. And Phoenix is like, no, no, you're not.
Phoenix is like, what? I almost died 3 times. Get out of here. Then Omega, Moxley ran in and just like knocked him out. Omega came in and Moxley knocked him out. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
Which was great. Because.
Great sell.
It was fucking fantastic. So then we leave with Moxley up there chewing his gum, I think. I don't know what he was doing. And Omega completely knocked out, laying in the ring, which is hilarious. It was great. It was a thumbs up. Big, huge thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Same, absolutely.
Same. That was a fine capper to show that ended up being 77% worth watching. Definitely worth watching. Mm-hmm.
Beach breaks next week, so probably some crazy shit will happen.
Yeah.
Probably some beach stuff.
Definitely fingers some crossed. Beach stuff. Probably some references to Florida.
Yeah. Definitely beaches. Definitely bashing.
A wedding.
Bashing may be like veering into dangerous territory, because apparently that's something they can't say again.
The first AEW wedding will take place. One of, I hope, many. I'm just
kidding. Oh, yeah. Dear. Yeah. And many, many AEW babies.
No, you know, I seeing Taz's son, I might want to draw the line on that one. I'm real serious. If Tony Khan is listening, get that motherfucker out of the way.
Wow.
Have him stand in the background, please, so we can get our Ricky Starks, Brian Cage, Taz, and Hobbs fix, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barf.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know I did.
We enjoyed ourselves. I'm sorry I'm so loopy.
We will see you next week for Beach Break.
Beach Break!
I just realized it's not Beach Bash, it's Beach Break.
Oh, it's Break.
Because I pay attention to these things.
Oh, I thought it was
Bash. Hopefully Pizza Hut's new Detroit-style pizza will be available. And we can stuff our faces with the unholy concoction.
Some square pizzas, baby.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Oh, man.